Well, today we are continuing in our series that we've been in for the past several weeks called Here's Your Sign, where we are walking through the seven signs in the Gospel of John, the seven signs that Jesus performed in and around Jerusalem, in and around Israel, and mainly in the region of the Galilee. We've seen that's where a lot of these signs took place. And he did signs, he did these events, these historical events happened that Jesus did to prove or to show his identity, to show who he was. That's what Jesus did. That's why he did it. And so my hope and prayer throughout this whole series is that by going through this series, by going through what we're doing here, by going through and looking at all the different signs, that as we get closer to Easter Sunday, that those who may have a hard time believing, those who maybe have been skeptical in the past, those who maybe have doubted in the past, would realize that what Jesus did revealed his identity and showed who he was and that he can be trusted. And so if you're here this morning, if this is your first time, if you're here, it's your first time in a long time, or if you've been coming throughout this series and you've still got questions, man, we are so glad that you are here. And we want you to continue to come and continue to peer on, look into, gaze into who Jesus is and what his identity is. That's what we desire for you. That's our heart and our prayer for you. And so we've been looking at these signs and what Jesus did. And John told us that why he wrote these signs down, why he recorded these historical events, these public miracles that took place, was so that you could know that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the anointed one of God, that he's the one that God sent, so that you would know that you could trust him. That he's not just a made up imaginary fairy tale person, but he was a historical person who really lived that you can trust. And so that's why we're doing this. That's why we're going through this series, and we're looking at all these signs. And we've seen five signs so far, and today we're gonna look at the sixth sign that Jesus revealed. And I just think that it is the perfect sign to look at because it really connects to what we've already done in looking at Hosanna and the meaning of Hosanna, looking at Holy Week and why it matters, examining yourself. I think you're gonna see that this sign in particular causes us on this Palm Sunday to really look introspectively as well. So as we get started, wanted to let you know that and just remind you where we've been. But I wanna start with this question today. Okay, I wanna start with this question. Especially if you're skeptical, especially if you're not sure what yet you believe, or even if you are like many of us, you've believed for a long time, but you struggle believing sometimes. Here's the question. What would it take for you to believe? What would it take for you to believe? I want you to ask yourself that question. If you don't believe, if you're skeptical, or if you have a hard time believing sometimes, just ask yourself that question. What would it take for you to believe? What would it take to put you over the edge of non-belief to full belief? What would it take for you to believe? I want you to think on that for a second because that question is really going to be pressed throughout the message today. That question is going to be pressed repeatedly as you ask yourself and wrestle with the passage, the sign that we are going to see. What would it take for you to believe? So have you come up with an answer yet? What would it take for you to believe? What would you have to see with your own eyes to truly believe? Well, with that question lingering, all right, let's start and look at the sixth sign today. It's gonna be found in John chapter nine, starting in verse one. John chapter nine, starting in verse one, and we're gonna see, this is the sixth sign. This sign is, again, a public miracle that Jesus did. It wasn't done in a corner. There were eyewitnesses to it. It's historical, it really happened. And let's see what it is that Jesus did. John chapter 9, starting in verse 1, we read this. As he, that is Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, this question was a question that was an obvious one at this time, because at this time, there was a belief that if something went wrong, if something bad happened, you must have done something bad to cause it. That was the belief of the day, that if something went wrong or if something bad happened, that you must have done something to cause it. That was what was going on. So when they come to this man that was born blind and they knew he was born blind, that was the stigma surrounding him. That was his past. That was his story. And so the disciples are asking an innocent question. Hey, Rabbi, addressing Jesus, like, who sinned? Like, why is it that he's like this? Because if he was born that way, did his mom do something? Did his dad do something? Did he do something? I don't know how a baby could have done something, but did he do something that caused him to be born blind? Jesus answers verse 3. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, Jesus was not saying that these people, his parents and this man that's born blind, were sinless, but rather Jesus was trying to bust up this whole philosophy at the time that said that if something bad happened, it must be someone's fault. So he's saying, hey, yes, we live in a broken world. Yes, sin is the root cause of brokenness and why there is brokenness, bad things, but these people aren't being punished. These people aren't being punished somehow for their sin versus this person who didn't be born blind, all right? So Jesus is trying to bust up this whole philosophy of the time. He's saying this isn't a pronouncement on their faith or lack thereof or their sin or lack thereof as to why he's born blind and others aren't. But it's also not Jesus saying that they weren't sinful or that there is not sin. We'll see Jesus is clearly not saying that. Here in just a little bit, you'll see that. But he's also not saying, I want you to make sure you see this. He's also not saying that every time someone has something wrong with them, that it is that God has some greater purpose he wants to do. God can work through anyone and can bring good out of a difficult situation, as we saw last week with the storms that we face in life. But God is speaking through Christ in this situation right now and saying this specific situation. This happened for the moment that is about to happen for him. Verse 4. As long as it is day, Jesus says, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world, which is like, okay, Jesus, that's very poetic. I don't know what you're getting at here. That sounds good. After saying this, you're about to see, verse 6, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Now that's, first of all, that's gross. Right? I mean, it's kind of gross, Jesus. Like, what is happening? And then did you notice that Jesus, like John doesn't tell us that Jesus asks the man's permission. You ever thought about that? Like the man is already blind and now you have spit on the ground, made mud, put it in your hands. He can't see what you're doing. He's blind. And then you just throw mud on his eyes. I mean, that seems like really insensitive. It seems really definitely gross. Like, Jesus, what is going on here? I mean, if this would have happened during COVID, Jesus would have gotten arrested, right? Now, there was a belief at this time about saliva, okay, but it could have been what's going on. But Jesus spits on the ground, makes mud, puts mud on the man's eyes. We can understand that he coated the man's eyes with this mud, okay? And then look at verse 7. Now, look, listen, this sign, unlike the others, the point of this sign is what's going to come after it. Yes, the sign matters. Jesus said this man was born blind for what's about to happen to him, the purpose, this sign that's about to happen. But there's not a lot of drama around it. Like, it's just, John just tells us what happened. Look at verse 7. Go, he, being Jesus, told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. I mean, it's kind of like you kind of saw this coming. There's not a lot of movement in the text like other passages that we've seen. It's just kind of like Jesus is saying, hey, this is going to happen. you go wash, and then you're gonna go home seeing. And so the man went and washed and came home seeing. Like, that is amazing. Like, Jesus gave sight to the blind. This man was blind from birth. We don't know how old he is, but his whole life, he has lived in a state of darkness, total blindness, which makes sense again why Jesus said what he said before doing this sign and healing this man of his blindness when he said, "I am the light of the world." He gave that disclaimer to explain what he was about to do for this man, which was to give him light, give him sight from the darkness that he had been in. But I want you to look again at verse 7. This man can't see who Jesus is. He's blind. He now has spit-infused mud on his eyes, and he is told to go and walk to the water to wash off the mud on his eyes. Do you see this? Like, do you see it? Jesus tells a blind man to walk. He cannot see yet. We can't miss this. So see this. Like, try to see what I'm about to say. This man is blind and Jesus tells him to walk. Translation, Jesus tells this man to walk by faith. Not by sight, because he cannot see yet. But once he washes in the pool, he can see. He can't see as he's taking the hike to this pool, though. And I told you last week that I've been to Israel. I've been to the Sea of Galilee where Jesus did the miracle, where he did the sign, where he caused the storm to stop, right? I've also been to the Pool of Siloam. Archaeological evidence proves that archaeologists have uncovered this pool. And here's what's crazy about the pool. There's only one way to get to it. You got to go downhill. So not only did this guy walk by faith, not by sight, because he couldn't see, he walked downhill, which is difficult to do with your eyes open sometimes. I don't know if y'all noticed, but after the baptism, I busted right here, and Harry caught me at the bottom. I thought I was at the bottom, and I missed like three steps. Like, sometimes, I'm not blind, okay? Sometimes when you're, it's not even easy to walk down sometimes when your eyes are open. But this guy is blind. He goes downhill. He's willing to walk by faith. Remember what I asked you at the beginning of this message. What would it take for you to believe? See, a lot of you this morning may struggle with belief because you might say, well, I can't believe until I see. And John would say, hey, I get that. I understand that you need evidence. That's why I've written this book with my name on it. I wrote it so that you could know that the things that Jesus did were true and really happened. I wrote these signs down so that you could know that you can have faith, not in some fairy tale, but in fact. The evidence of the signs point to why you should believe. You don't have to actually walk by faith before you believe, but this man walked by faith before he believed. You actually can walk by putting your faith in the evidence of what happened 2,000 years ago. What would it take for you to believe? How about a blind man getting his sight? Because that is what happened. There was a blind man who wasn't able to see, who walked downhill by faith before he had reason to believe. And when he washed in the pool, after being blind from birth, Jesus heals his blindness. Why should you believe? Why should I believe in Jesus? Not just that he's existed, but that he's worthy of being followed. Because the evidence points to the fact that Jesus really did these signs that no one else could do. And if he did these signs that no one else can do, then we should examine the claims that he made about himself. And if the claims he made about himself were that, hey, I am God in human flesh, came to save you, then what holds you back from believing and putting your trust in him? What would it take for you to believe? Unfortunately, it may take more than seeing a blind man get his sight. I told you that this account, this sign, more than maybe any of the others, what we're gonna focus on is what happened after the sign, even more so than the sign itself, because the point of it and why Jesus did it was for what came after. Because you might say, oh, I don't know what it would take for me to believe, but for some 2,000 years ago, it wasn't even a blind man getting his sight that was enough for them to believe. Not because they doubted that it happened, but because they weren't willing to ascribe worth and value to it to the point that they would fully surrender. Look at verse 8. His neighbors, that is the man that was born blind, and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, hey, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Because in this culture, not only did they have wrong-headed beliefs and philosophies about, well, hey, if you have something wrong with you, it must be your fault or your parents' fault. They also wouldn't allow anyone to be integrated into society because they were viewed as unclean. People didn't want to be near you if you had a disability, if you were blind. You couldn't work and you were relegated to beg. And so his neighbors are like, wait a second, this guy's walking around now. He's not begging. He can see. It looks just like the guy that used to always beg. Verse 9, some claimed that he was, that was the man. Others said, nah, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. I love it. How then were your eyes opened? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus. I want you to pay attention to that phrase. The man they called Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus yet. He just knows about him. He says, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. And this is one of my favorite verses in the entire account. You ready for this? Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. Not all y'all are laughing because you don't see the humor and the sarcasm in this. Why doesn't he know? Because he was blind. He couldn't see him. His friends are like, well, where did this guy go? And he's like, I don't know. I'm blind. I couldn't see him until after I washed. And after I washed, he was gone. I love the sarcasm. Verse 13. So they brought to the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the day, the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. What's going on here is that the religious leaders of the day had a very strict adherence to the law. And the law said you couldn't work on the Sabbath. And they had a certain understanding of what they thought it meant to not work on the Sabbath. And so what the Pharisees were famous for is, if this is the rule, if this is the law, let's draw circles around it so that we don't come close at all to it. And for sure, because rumors about Jesus were circulating and people were skeptical about Jesus and they were scared of Jesus, especially the religious leaders, because Jesus threatened the establishment, Jesus threatened the status quo. They didn't want Jesus upsetting and threatening the power that they had. They were looking for a reason to take him out, to shut him down. And so Remember what I asked you at the beginning. What would it take for you to believe? The religious leaders couldn't see, even though they weren't blind, the miracle of what Jesus had done in healing a man born blind. They were preoccupied with. They were completely focused on the fact that he did it on a Sabbath. He did it on a Sabbath. I knew it. He doesn't keep the law. He can't be trusted. We need to get rid of him. So then, verse 17, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. Great point, by the way. Yeah, that's who you should ask. The man then replied, well, I guess, you know, he is a prophet. So at first, the man that was born blind says, the man named Jesus healed me. Now, verse 17, he says he is a prophet because, of course, he's thinking, well, how else could he have opened my eyes if he wasn't someone spiritually significant? But verse 18, they still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Because if they admitted that this guy had been born blind and then be healed, they would have to be admitting something about Jesus. So they're not gonna admit it. And so they bring his parents in. And look at verse 18. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? Verse 20. We know he is our son, the parents answered. And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents, look at the power of the religious establishment. Verse 22, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That's why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. His parents were fearful because the Jewish leaders, get this, had already decided that they were not going to believe. They had already created a category that Jesus was bad and that Jesus couldn't be trusted and that people shouldn't follow Jesus. They already had their presuppositions about Jesus. They weren't open at all to what their eyes might even tell them. They weren't open at all to what even the evidence may say. They were essentially saying, I don't care about the evidence. I don't care about the truth. I'm gonna believe what I'm gonna believe, and I'm gonna get rid of whatever doesn't fit my narrative because my narrative is powerful and I need my narrative to carry the day. And so when they felt threatened, they appealed to the law to hold Jesus accountable and to hold Jesus liable. Whatever was a threat to their system, they would just threaten excommunication. And to be excommunicated, to be put out of the synagogue, as John records here that the parents were afraid of, was not just to not be able to go to church and worship. It was to be excommunicated from your community of faith. Your potential income in the future may be questioned because, hey, if you don't follow our system, then those that employ you and those that are powerful, they're not gonna wanna do business with you. The Pharisees didn't just decide how you worship. You couldn't even associate with your family. You'd be put in isolation. I mean, this was a serious threat. And the parents are like, we can't afford to risk that. So the parents, who have not been isolated their entire lives, rather than be blown away by what Jesus has done and just say, yeah, this is our son. Yeah, it must have been that Jesus. Yeah, let's follow him. The power of the Pharisees was so much that they would rather throw their son who has been isolated all of his life for blindness under the bus and say, he's of age, ask him. Let him be the one that's excommunicated if that's what needs to happen. Verse 24, so a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man, that is Jesus, is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. He's like, guys, I don't think you get it. I've not been able to see my whole life. I've been begging on the side of the road my whole life. I've had nothing my whole life. Y'all can get all up in arms about Jesus. I don't really care right now. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. I was blind. I had no hope in life. I couldn't get ahead in anything because my society said that I was worthless. I was unclean. I was untouchable. But now I can see. He's like, I can't tell you who he is and everything about him because remember when he did this, I was blind. But I know I can see now. And the Pharisees are relentless. Look at verse 26. So then they asked him, well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? I love the sarcasm. I love it. He's getting a little punchy. He's like, look, I told you I was blind, now I can see. And now you're like questioning my blindness. Like, let me just tell you. So then, verse 28, they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. You're seeing the progression in this man who had been born blind as he's like getting sarcastic with the Pharisees and he's getting frustrated. At first, he's like, this man named Jesus opened my eyes. Then he's like, he must have been a prophet. Now he's basically preaching to them and saying, hey, who else could have opened my eyes were he not from God? It's like we're seeing the progression of faith be birthed in this man because of the evidence that I once was blind, but now I see. Verse 34, to this they, being the Pharisees, replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Meaning they threw him out, not just of the synagogue, but of the community, of the religious community of faith. He was excommunicated. Because he wasn't willing to play their games. He wasn't willing to go along with the religious establishment and just say, yeah, whatever you want me to say is true, sure. He was like, hey, I once was blind, but now I see, and there must be something about this Jesus. But again, remember what I asked you at the beginning, what would it take for you to believe? The Pharisees couldn't see it. There's this just obvious and blatant juxtaposition in this account that John records for us between the religious Pharisees and the former blind man. The Pharisees not only couldn't see it, they didn't want to see it. The former blind man couldn't help but see it because this man named Jesus changed his life. But the Pharisees, and this is what I want you to take away if you listen to nothing else I say all day, just please pay attention to this. This is so important. This is the whole point of this sign that Jesus is getting at. The Pharisees were more blind than the former blind man ever was. Because spiritual blindness is a bigger impediment than physical blindness ever could be. Spiritual blindness is a bigger barrier than physical blindness because physical blindness may limit what you're able to see in this world, but spiritual blindness will keep you from ever seeing the next world. Spiritual blindness is what was holding back the Pharisees. They just could not see it. They just did not want to see it. They refused to even have a category to being open to Jesus being who this man was saying. And my concern is in a room of this size, for those watching online, that there may be at least someone here today that is like the Pharisees in that you have doubts, you have concerns, but you're spiritually missing what it is that is right in front of you. The signs that are there. And I don't want anybody to miss out on what the Pharisees missed out on. What I want for you and what I want for me is that for us to have the same story as the man who was born blind. Not, okay, I see all the evidence, but I refuse to see it, or I just really don't see what you're saying about Jesus. No, no, no. I want your story and my story to be, I once was blind, but now I see. I once had no idea who Jesus was, but now I see. I once had my own beliefs about Jesus, but now I see. I once refused to believe because I didn't have a category for who Jesus was being revealed as, but now I see. I once was blind and refused to believe because I thought there was no evidence, but now the signs just demand you to wrestle with the evidence. Now I see. I once was blind and I was putting my trust in this, but now I see. I once was blind and it led me down a path over here, but now I see who Jesus is and I'm ready to walk over here in the light with Jesus. Like I once was blind. Man, if you've trusted Jesus, like gone in with your faith in him and believed, I want you to know something. That is your story. Amen. Even if you've never been physically blind, every single person who has trusted in Christ was once spiritually blind, and now their story is, I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. The question is, have you trusted in that Jesus? If you want to know whether or not you once were blind, but now you see, you know what Jesus tells us the test of that is? You know what the New Testament shows us the test of that is? It's by looking at your life. If you think you once were blind, but now you see, how do you know if you see? Well, do you do things that now seen people do? Spiritually speaking, if you are blind, spiritually speaking, then you will not, spiritually speaking, live like someone who has seen the light of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a dramatic overnight transformation. Immediately, you go from not living like Jesus to fully following him. No, 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 there's a process. Look at this own man's process, right? He went from that man Jesus to, I guess he's a prophet, to, hey, he must be from God. Like, it takes time. There's a progression. And many of you may be in situations right now. I had a professor in seminary that told us this, and I thought it was so helpful. That for some people, you can't, first of all, I don't pronounce anyone whether they are spiritually alive or not. Only God can do that, right? But he said, for some people, when they're doing this test to figure out, have I truly come to know Jesus? Have I truly believed and put my faith in him? If their life doesn't fully look like it yet, it might be because their environment, their surroundings are such that, man, for them to just hold on to their faith is a miracle of God. And time will tell. And so if you're here this morning and you're in a difficult situation And you're like, well, Matt, I mean, I know that I once didn't believe in Jesus, but now I do. And so if that's my story, I once was blind, but now I see. But man, I know I've got a long way to go and I'm not there yet. So have I never believed? I'm not telling you that. I am saying that if you are not in a place where you look like someone who is living for Jesus, to ask yourself the question, have you truly believed in Jesus? Have you truly trusted in him? And if you're in a difficult situation, if you have a tough home life, if you're in a work situation, if you're in a social situation and you've not removed yourself from that environment, let me tell you, it's hard to overcome a tough environment when you're young in your faith. And so it might be that you just need time to grow. You maybe need to remove yourself from a certain environment and then you'll take off. Or maybe this, you're here this morning and you're listening to this because it's like, okay, maybe I truly haven't trusted in Christ. I don't know. That's between you and God, and you've got to figure that out. But what I do know sometimes happens is even for those of us who have trusted Christ, like we've put our faith in him, we've believed, our story is, I once was blind, but now I see. We've been over here where we've been living for Christ and excited for him, and then we drift back over here. Why? Because we all have blind spots. You know what a blind spot is? If you don't know what a blind spot is, be careful driving because you might find out real quick, all right? But we all have blind spots. We all have those areas of our life where we have blinders on. We have blind spots that we think we don't need to even wrestle with or think about or... And at the end of the day, we struggle like the Pharisees because we have certain categories of following Jesus to where we're like, well, I don't have a category for that. And so Matt, if you're asking me to do that, if that's what the text says, I mean, I just don't see how I need to do that or how I should follow that because you've put up blinders or you have certain categories that are off limits or you have certain areas of your life that you're like, I don't know. But what God desires for all of us, remember Jesus, before he did this sign, he said, I am the light of the world. What Jesus wants to do in each and every one of your life is light it up to the degree that you would be willing to get rid of any blind spots that would keep you from fully following him and going all in. He wants you to fully see him for who he is and what he has done so that you would be willing to go all in and say, I once was blind, but now I see. I didn't see as good as I do right now because more has been revealed to me about who Jesus is. I'm seeing more and more about who he is and his worth and his value and his majesty and just how great he is. And I want to go all in and follow him. And so now I once was blind, but now I see. But man, now I really see. And then next year, man, I see even more this year. And then the year after that, man, I want to keep seeing. I never want to think I've arrived because I know there's got to be more of Jesus that I haven't fully grasped yet. I've got to believe that right now on Palm Sunday 2024, as much as I've been following Jesus, as much as I've wanted to say, hey, I once was blind, but now I see, I still need glasses. I still need contacts. I've probably got a blind spot. And so God, would you just reveal to me, break down those blinders and help me fully embrace you for who you are? Man, what if that was our prayer? Like, what if that was our desire? What if we were so honest with ourselves that we were willing to do the hard work of just saying, God, would you just rip off these blinders and these blind spots that I may have because I want to see you for who you are? I don't know where you find yourself on the I once was blind, but now I see spectrum. But we all have a next step that we can take in fully seeing Jesus for who he is. And as we fully see him, we will follow him more fully. And what better time than on Palm Sunday, the week leading up to Easter Sunday, where we could all just say, God, we want to see you. Help us to see you. after the man gets thrown out, Jesus hears about it. Verse 35, look at what happened. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Which was a phrase that Jesus often used to identify himself. "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Why is he saying that? Because remember, he was blind. His last interaction with Jesus. Jesus said, verse 37, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped. See, if you're here this morning, and if I was to ask you, who is Jesus to you, and you just said, "I don't know, some man named Jesus." This man started with some man named Jesus. If you're here this morning, you're like, "Well, I know Jesus was a good person. He was probably godly." Remember, this man went from believing Jesus was just some person to a prophet. Then he said he must be from God. Then he says he's the Son of Man, verse 35. And then in verse 38, he calls him Lord. As the Pharisees grew blinder and blinder, this man who was once blind, his vision of Jesus got clearer and clearer. Amen. This former blind man knew there was something about Jesus because he had been made to see. The evidence was clear. He could see it, but he didn't know who Jesus was until he truly believed. Where are you at with Jesus this morning? Where are you at with Jesus? Might we all come to the place of being able to fall down at Jesus' feet and worship him as Lord, because that's what he desires for every one of you. That's what we were created for. And if you're here this morning, if you're watching online and you're still not sure, you've still got questions, then hey, keep coming. Keep looking in. Keep being open to having who Jesus is revealed to you. But on this Palm Sunday 2024, let's realize that it's all about Jesus and what he's done. And let's reflect before we go on who Jesus is and what he has done to such a degree that if you came in here not sure, if you came in here wondering, if you came in here and your vision was a little hazy, during this next song, I want you to pay attention, really pay attention to the words, because this song we're about to sing next is going to articulate who Jesus is and what he's done. And during this song, if you get sight for the first time and you're like, "I see it now, I want to believe," there will be leaders here at the front that would love to pray with you and help you put your faith in Jesus. If you've had some blinders on and you've had some blind spots for a while, let this next song, let the time of this next song drive you closer to falling on your knees before him and just saying, "I once was blind, but now I see. And hey, I thought I saw it before, but now I really see it. Or hey, I think I see it and I'm good, but God, give me a greater appreciation of what it is that I see you for right now." Would we all be able to walk out of here with a story of, "I once was blind, but now I see"? Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you that you've preserved these signs in Scripture for us that serve as evidence for why we should believe in Christ. And God, I just pray for everyone in the room, those watching online that might be still wrestling, might not think that the evidence is there, and they may say, "What would it take for me to believe? I need more evidence." God, I pray that you would just give them grace. God, would you show them what they need to see? Or God, maybe right now in this moment, would you just reveal to them that who you are is what they need? And might they believe for the first time? So God, during this next song, might sight become clearer for all of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing this song about who Jesus is and what he's done.